Here we are in the fourth Sunday of Easter. It's an interesting time this year, a time of Easter when we're supposed to be celebrating the resurrection, living in a way that feels so alive and so full, and yet we live in the midst of a pandemic that sort of puts a cloud over everything. It's not the cloud that represents God. It's a cloud that actually sort of rattles our perceptions of things. So let's pray that somehow today we can move beyond what they all say to what we're called to be, no matter what the weather, the environment, the situation is. The gospel today comes from John chapter 10. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by their name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, be with us now. Stir our spirits. Give us the sense of adventure, the sense of challenge. Give us the ability to never be afraid and operate from that fear. Give us the ability to not just settle for survival, but as your scripture says so clearly, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Amen. I came to have life and life abundantly. I came to give you life and life in all its fullness. You see, that's what Christ came to do. But I wonder how many of us really taste of that fullness. I wonder how many of us really taste of that abundance. I wonder how many of us rather operate from a sense of scarcity rather than, well, abundance. I mean, if you ran to the grocery store to buy a toilet paper and buy as much as you could beforehand, you're not operating from the sense of abundance. You're saying, there's not enough for everybody and me. I got to get my own. And so you're not relying on God. You're relying on, well, your own instinct, your own sense of survival. In a sense, I hate to put it this way, and please forgive me, but you know what? You got a lizard brain. A lizard brain. Now, it's not wrong to be prepared. It's not wrong to get your provisions. That's being prepared. That's being a good Boy Scout. And trust me, I'm an Eagle Scout. But it is wrong when all of a sudden you have to hoard in because it's only yours. It is wrong when you say, "I got to make sure I can take care of my own because I'm not going to be able to take care of anybody else. I got to get it before they do because they might get it away from me." That's when it goes wrong. Because then you're not looking to God to provide, "Give us this day our daily bread." You're looking at yourself as though, "I don't know if there's going to be bread anymore." You see, the scriptures are really kind of interesting in this setting. This scripture that we have is one of seven, actually, in the Gospel of John that are what was called the I Am scriptures. I Am has two specific, correlations. One, of course, what's the name of God? Well, when, you know, Moses asks God, what should I say your name is? What does he say? I am who I am. It's not a take from Popeye, I am who I am. It's rather, I am who I am. In other words, my character, who I am, is what I am. I am congruent with you. The I Am scriptures also give a light of the different characteristics. I'm not going to go through all through them. Trust me, over the scriptures over the next couple of weeks, we probably will. Today it is, I am the gate. But how many other ones do you know? I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. So on and so forth. I am the good shepherd. But today, Jesus says, I am the gate, using an analogy to say, you know, if you want to enter into good pasture, if you want security, then you have to be in me. And being in me isn't necessarily having everything right at your beck and call, at your hand, right now and right here. But when you come to the knowledge that God knows your voice and you know his voice, that you can recognize him, that you realize that he is the provider for you, that it is in him that your life is fulfilled, then all of a sudden you have to operate in a different way. You know, most people think it's you operate in a different way because you operate from the perspective of, well, I've got to be good morally. I can't make any mistakes, or I have to be good ethically. I better not, you know, do things wrong. But I believe that it goes on beyond that. I believe that when you know you are in God, when you know his voice and he knows your voice, when he calls you by name, I believe that at that point, the transformation of you into becoming a little bit less of what you are right now and turning into a little bit more of what you ought to be really pulls together. You see, it becomes less about performance of morals and ethics and more about relationship and development of character. It's your character that develops. It's where you become to what you belong to. You become like Jesus. And you become actually his messenger. You know, I had a friend of mine talk to me the other day, and we were talking about different things, and he was struggling with some things, and at one point he asked me a question, because I said, well, I just have to love that person, and I have to love that person. And he goes, well, I don't understand how you can do that. How can you love both of them? And what he basically, I think, was trying to get at with me was, don't you choose sides? And I started to think to myself, you know, I really try not to choose sides. I have my opinions. And if any of you ever want my opinion, I'll give it to you, but you're not going to hear it from the pulpit. But I have opinions, but I don't choose sides. And the reason why I operate where I love people that might go one direction, and then I love the same people over on the other side that are going in an opposite direction, is not dependent upon them. It's dependent upon me. You know, most of us live our lives in relationship with other people, and if they treat me good, then I treat them good. If they treat me bad, well, then I'm going to give them back bad. Well, I hate to tell you this, folks, but that ain't Christian. What's truly Christian is where you live out of the character that God has given to you. You live out of the character that is God himself. God is love. And the reason why you love other people, despite wherever they are in their life, is yes, they are created in the image of God. Of course, many people I meet lately have their behavior covering up that image of God pretty well, probably including me at times. But the main reason is because if my image of God is really me, then my character is to love. And so loving someone else isn't dependent upon what they do or don't do. Loving someone else is me simply loving. And if you don't believe me on that, well, then believe God on that. God loves you all the time. Aren't you glad he doesn't sort of say, "Oh, my love's conditional upon your behavior"? Now, he does want you to respond. He does want you to live in a different way than you are living if you're moving away from him. But he doesn't love you less even when you are going away from him. He loves you more. But he's probably loving you in the midst of a lot of sadness. You see, when someone disagrees with something that I really think is healthy and good, it doesn't mean that I stop loving them. It means that I love them more, but I'm sad in the love that I have because I'm sad for where they're going. It doesn't mean I have to draw a line in the sand. It means, well, you know what? My love is eternal. My love is expanding. My love is going out. But it all depends upon you being who you are. You know, a friend of mine reminded me the other day about a song that was written. It was actually sung by Lyle Lovett. I'm not sure. I think he even wrote it. But Lyle Lovett actually sang this song. And it was right at the point with, for those of you who remember Little Sort of Things, it was back when he married Julia Roberts, which I think the marriage lasted all of about 3 or 4 days. It wasn't very long. But in that line and in that song, and actually the title of the song, it says, "If I were the man that you wanted, I wouldn't be the man that I am." If I were the man that you wanted, I wouldn't be the man that I am. Isn't that funny? I am the man that I am. A man created in the image of God, the I am. A man that is trying to live out being who he really is. Sometimes it's hard for us, but we've got to be who we are. I'll be real upfront with you. God makes it clear. When Jesus says, "I am the gate," anybody who doesn't come in through the gate is a bandit or a thief. I just got done giving blood over at Quest. When I was there, I walked in, I had my mask on, and I walked up, and the lady was really nice, and she checked me right in, and then I went in and sat down. There was a man that was behind me who stormed out of his truck and came over, didn't have a mask on, and she said, "Sir, I'm sorry, but you have to wear a mask." And he got frustrated, threw stuff down, walked over to his truck, slammed the door, came back with a mask on. As I sat there, I looked at him, and he was just texting and keep moving. He was about my age, and he was just angry. I started to try and figure out, why are you angry? You know, we're just here to give blood and get on with it. But he was angry, and he didn't want anybody standing in his way. Finally, it came to where he actually got called before I did, even though he was there after I was. He went inside, and I didn't think anything. All of a sudden, I see him walk out just seconds later. When I went in to see the lady, because I was next, I said, "Boy, that was quick on that other guy." And she goes, "Well, he didn't bring his form. He didn't have his doctor's order with him." All I have to say is, duh. But then again, maybe that was karma. What goes around comes around. I pray that I don't have my karma come around on me that's negative. I pray that I'm not angry. I pray that I'm kind. I pray that I live out of the character that God's making me into. He is the potter, we are the clay. He molds and shapes us. I want to be the man that I am. I want to be an I am God man. As you go through this week, I pray that you'll look at your character more than anything else. Does it reflect your knowledge of God? Do you live out of love? And if you struggle with taking sides, get over it. Because it's not about taking sides. I always amazed at one of the things. God asks us to love him. He doesn't put as the number one request, you got to be loyal to me. Because quite frankly, none of us are. But hopefully, when we love him, we move towards being loyal to him. That's the process we're in. Loving him and loving the people across our path so we move into being really loyal for him in a way that's truly loyal. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.